Hello and welcome to another Texans Wire podcast. I'm your host Anthony Wood, and with me this week is the wonderful Jake Asman of ESPN 97.5. Jake, how are you doing?
I'm great, Anthony. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much for joining us this week, and I understand you've just been to the Brian Game press conference. How do you think it went?
It was interesting. It was the first time since I have been here. I've been covering the Texans since I moved from New York to Houston in last July. So this was the first time that I've personally been at a press conference with Brian Gain. I know we spoke at the scouting combine in Indianapolis a couple months ago, but I wasn't there. So really cool getting the chance to kind of hear his process, hear his thoughts on how they go about evaluating the top prospects. And he was candid. I thought he was a lot more honest than I was expecting when he was asked about, you know, his tendencies, you know, best player available against drafting needs and what you reasonably expect to get from your top three picks in the first, second, third, and even fourth round. So really interesting stuff. I think the most newsworthy things he maybe said today involved Will Fuller probably being ready to go for week one, which is great news for the Texans. And, you know, obviously, you know, they still want to work out a long-term deal, they claim, at least publicly, with Jadeveon Clowney. So other than that, it was just kind of insightful stuff into the draft process. And I found it very enlightening. I found it interesting. And I think if you're a Texans fan, you kind of got a nice idea of how Brian Gain is going to go about, you know, this year's draft.
Absolutely. If you're a Texans fan, it's definitely worth watching it. It's on the Texans Twitter page. He is an extremely honest person when it comes to his interviews. He's not like a John Dorsey. He's quite quiet. He's quite a reserved individual, but he's very plain and he will answer your questions very honestly. So it's very interesting to hear what he had to say today. I'd have to agree entirely with what you said about Will Fuller. It's great to hear that he will hopefully be back for game one against the Saints. Let's get on to the Clowney situation straight away, if I may. So what did you take away from what he said about Clowney's current contract situation?
You know, everything that you've heard publicly from the Texans, they're going to tell you, hey, they want to work out a long-term deal with Clowney. And I think to some extent, I think most of that's true. They obviously, he's a very good player. They drafted him first overall in 2014. They want to keep him long-term here in Houston. And the reality is, you know, would the Texans be willing to give a deal that what Clowney wants? And would Clowney be willing to maybe compromise some more something what the Texans want, right? That's basic negotiation, and that's what the debate is. The reality is I don't see a deal getting done anytime soon. You know, they didn't officially say, oh, Clowney wasn't at the, you know, involuntary workouts earlier this week. But he wasn't there, I can tell you that for sure. But you know, you don't expect him to be there because he's playing on the franchise, you know, over the summer, and there's a couple of mandatory camps before that. But the point is this, they want to get Clowney signed. Clowney wants to stay in Houston. He wants to get paid. It's just a matter of, well, can they agree to a long-term deal? And, you know, if I'm making a decision on that now, I don't see any deal coming anytime soon. I think if something were to be worked out, it would be, you know, as we get a lot closer to that franchise tag deadline. And we'll see what happens. But if you're expecting to see Clowney at any of these off-season workout stuff, I don't see that happening.
What I found particularly interesting is that despite everything they've been saying, like you mentioned publicly, about Clowney's contract situation, that they have every intent on signing him long-terms, they brought in earlier this week, they brought in top defensive end prospect Montez Sweat for a workout. How do you think that possibly fits into the situation? Is this just a case of they're covering all their bases? Or do you think it's a case of, well, we need someone we could possibly replace Clowney with? Should a trade occur or something along those lines?
I don't think the Texans are going to be in position for a player like Montez Sweat. I think Sweat is a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in the top 10 based on some of the things you've heard, you know, leading up to the draft, you know, the last couple of weeks. I mean, I saw one mock from a really respected person. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah on the NFL Network that had Sweat going sixth to the Giants. So that was the highest that I've seen Montez Sweat going. So I don't think he'll be there. I just think it's a classic case of a team just doing its due diligence. You never know when a guy could become available down the line. You have 30 of these visits. Most teams don't even use all 30. So it's an opportunity to get to know a player that, hey, it's probably not going to be there, but you never know. Maybe they fall in love with a player and they trade up, and Sweat could be, you know, one of those guys. I just think they're doing their due diligence. I think Clowney will play in 2019 for the team. I don't think he'd sit out the whole year without a new deal. I think he'd want to play on the franchise tag and get his $15 million or whatever the amount is for a defensive end / outside linebacker. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, who's going to break first? Can the Texans work out a deal, or are they just content on, hey, Clowney, you're going to want to get paid. Go play on the franchise tag for this 1 year, and then it gives us another year to reevaluate whether or not we want to sign you long term.
Absolutely, and sticking with the earlier rounds of the draft, obviously the Texans have four picks before 100. They've got 23, 54, 55, and 86, I believe. So they've got plenty of premium picks there. Now, one of the most sort of striking comments that I heard this morning was that Brian Gain obviously said that he intends on having four starters from those top four picks. How realistic do you think that really is?
You know, that was probably, to me, my biggest takeaway from the press conference, you know, Anthony. I think his candid honesty with, you know, hey, we got four picks in the top 86. We expect when we take any guy in the top 100, we expect that guy to develop into, you know, a starting player for us. Obviously, you know, he emphasized you take a guy in the first round, you're expecting that guy from day one to come in, be an impact starter. But once you get to the second, third, and fourth round, you know, he said that this draft is deep enough where he thinks with all seven of their picks, they're going to be able to get guys that can impact the football team right away. And a lot of times you don't hear a GM say that. They just say, oh, you know, we're looking to just get good football players and then have our coaching staff develop them. And, you know, you're going to get the typical coach and GM speak. But his honesty there I thought was refreshing. I asked him, I said, you know, what did you learn from going through the process last year as a first-time GM compared to now what you know going into it this year? And he said, well, he joked. He's like, well, waiting around, not having a first or second-round pick, it was frustrating. And, you know, so this year there's emphasis on game to get it right, because the reality is the Texans have a lot of holes, right? They're a good football team, but if they're going to take the next step, how they do in this draft with four picks in the top 86, that's going to have a lot to do with whether or not this team can ascend and build upon an 11-5 season a year ago.
Absolutely, and especially with the teams around them in the South getting stronger, the Colts in particular looking like real contenders with how Andrew Luck played last year and that O-line in particular played last year. So it's going to be difficult for the Texans, but also what he's got to contend with is the fact that he did so well in the draft last year, picking, for example, Justin Reed, so a mid-round prospect there, and he's turned into eventually someone who could become a Pro Bowl caliber safety. I mean, he really was brilliant in his rookie year. So you'd have to say that the expectations are probably quite high for him this year. And do you think perhaps people are expecting a bit too much from him in regards to finding another Reed?
I think there's enormous pressure on him just in general, just because, you know, obviously last year he didn't have a first or a second round pick. So the emphasis is, oh, well, you look what you did last year and you got Justin Reed in the third round, and, you know, Duke Ejiofor looked like he could be a player. And obviously, Kiki Kuti contributed when he was out there on the field. So there's emphasis on Gain to do a good job drafting. That was one of the things that people were critical of Rick Smith of for years here. You know, the lack of effectiveness in the mid rounds, the lack of drafting, you know, premium players that can come in and have an impact. And two, hit on these picks and hit on them early, but also to fill needs. You know, they could say whatever they want, that, oh, we take best player available. And I'm sure, you know, most of the time they say that, they mean it. But there's no denying the fact that the Texans obviously, you know, could use some extra offensive linemen and could use some cornerbacks. And if you go off of, you know, needs and best player available, well, the dream scenario that the team will tell you is, hey, when best player available lines up with a need. So I still think ultimately you're going to see the Texans team spend some of those picks on an offensive lineman, maybe multiple picks on a lineman, and they're going to get a quarterback, I think, early on in this draft.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that really stood out for me today was, and he said this before, he said he would rather go after value than quote-unquote perceived needs, but there's no perceiving about it. It's clear the Texans need offensive linemen. It's clear they need defensive backs, so it's going to be interesting to see if he does end up following his desire to obviously get the highest value player at a certain pick, or if he's going to go after players that will fill a hole that they quite clearly have. One of the other interesting comments that he came out with today is that he sees Matt Khalil challenging as a starter for the left tackle job with Julian Davenport. How do you see that playing out, and how realistic do you think that actually is for a player who's, let's be honest, been injured for most of the last few years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be one of the interesting storylines this summer, you know, the competition there for the tackle spot. And listen, they make no mistake about it. You know, they bargain shot with Khalil. They didn't spend the big money on getting any of these premium offensive linemen or free agency. Not to say that there was that many, you know, great tackles that were available. Obviously, the main one signed with the Raiders for an enormous deal. But, you know, here's how you got to look at it if you're the Texans. You know, you brought in Khalil on a one-year deal. It's a prove-it deal for both him and for the Texans to be able to evaluate him. Obviously, if he is the best player over the summer, great. He's going to win the job. He'll be the starter. But, you know, he does have injury risk. The one thing you could say about Khalil, and Game brought this up today, is, yeah, he suffered injuries in 2016, and then 2017, he played all 16 games in the playoff game. Last year, dealt with some knee issues. So if he could bounce back and be the old Matt Khalil, you're talking about a guy that's been a starter on two other teams in the NFL before he got here to Houston. So, you know, there it's kind of one of those, like, low-risk, high-reward type of moves. If it doesn't work, you're not paying him a lot of money. But here's the thing. It just puts more emphasis on the Texans to either address the offensive line needs coming up here in the draft or, you know, kind of hope and pray that Khalil's healthy, he could win the job, and then he could be your guy, you know, as part of your starting offensive tackle.
Well, what's interesting is that obviously we're bringing in Khalil and then Davenport on the left. They've got Henderson now on the right, who they signed to a one-year extension. And he's, despite the fact that he said earlier this offseason, yes, Henderson will be our starter come week one, do you think the fact that there is so little depth there that they've added, does that show that perhaps that's where they're going to be going in the first or possibly second round, right tackle?
I think it's certainly possible that they're going to address the tackle spot. I mean, you know, Henderson got hurt so early that we didn't really get a chance to see what he was because he went down in week one. So you're also relying on another guy, one-year deal, trying to prove an option. I suspect they're going to be aggressive with tackle. I also could see a scenario where they trade up for someone they really like. I've heard people suggest, well, maybe the Texans will trade down. Well, I'll tell you what, when you have four picks in the top 86, you could be aggressive to get somebody. And Gain was asked about, you know, possibly trading up or trading back. And he goes, you know, every player, it's on a player-by-player basis. If they think someone is worth it to them, he has no problem making that move. So there's a lot of mystery with what the Texans would do. But I think we'd all be surprised if they don't end up drafting at least one tackle within the first couple picks that they have.
Absolutely. And do you personally have a particular favorite amongst this relatively strong top-end tackle group?
I don't have a guy that I could say, oh, boom, like that's the guy they should take. I've heard Dillard a lot as the name, but I think a lot of teams are going to be on him. You know, obviously, you know, he's the top guy from Alabama. There's other guys too, but, you know, I'll be honest with you, I have not dove into, you know, the entire list of draft prospects that could be maybe, you know, second, third, fourth round picks. The big thing you hear with the Texans is they got their needs. They've been working on this since last June, as Brian Gain said. They have to hit on these picks, and Gain said that he expects to get seven good players out of this draft with their picks. And, you know, when you have four picks in the top 86, they have to be aggressive on identifying best player, obviously, but also needs. I think any football team that doesn't draft for their needs, they're not telling the truth. Of course, you got to look at what you need to improve on. And, you know, let's be honest, Gain inherited a team that has not invested in the offensive line at all via the draft in years. So this is really important. You draft the Martinez that shows them probably played out of position as a tackle because of the injuries, and he'll be moved to guard this year. So there is some upside with this line. I don't think it's as bad as everyone makes it out to be. I do think it could be better, but clearly there is a need for tackles, and I would be shocked if they don't address that need in the draft.
And talking about other heavy needs, one of his other particularly noteworthy comments today was that he said he wanted a heavyweight speed at corner, and that makes sense, obviously, in a division with the likes of T.Y. Hilton, who they've really, really struggled against these last couple of years. Do you see them using one of their quote-unquote premium picks for a heavyweight speedy corner?
It's possible. I've heard people suggest, well, maybe they would take Reedy Williams in the first round. What I have heard about the corners from the people that really dive in and cover the draft is that maybe there's not that shutdown corner that is available in the first round. Even Gain talked about this today. He goes, I don't know if there's a Patrick Peterson that's available. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. But there should be some really good corners that could be available in the second, third, fourth round. So he says even later in the draft, the names you hear are, you know, Brian Murphy from Washington, Reedy Williams from obviously LSU is a guy that I've heard the Texans be connected to. DeAndre Baker from Georgia is a name to look out for. But I don't know if this draft is loaded with premium corners. And the way Gain answered that question kind of, you know, was a tell to me that he doesn't think this draft is loaded with top-end corners. So if the Texans take a corner in round one, I'd be a little surprised because I think they're going to be looking tackle or just go best player available in general at that spot over just taking a position of need with the cornerback.
Absolutely. And I have to admit, personally, there's one player that I'm particularly interested in. I was on a conference call this morning with Daniel Jeremiah, who said that one of the players he's particularly high on is the Penn State cornerback, now excuse my pronunciation here, Amani Oruwariye. Sorry about that. So basically, he's projected anywhere between second and fourth round. The Texans brought him in. They spoke to him at the combine, and they brought him in for a workout. So, and with his Penn State connections as well, I can definitely see the Texans looking at him perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, not that this is still relevant because it's so far away, but, you know, Bill O'Brien does have the ties to the Texans organization, or to the Penn State days, so maybe he's got some people there that can give him the heads up. I think what it comes down to is this, right? These guys do so much scouting, so much work, so far in advance ahead of this. They know everyone that could possibly be available. And I think if you're the Texans, you have a need at corner. You have four picks in the top 86 and seven overall. Even if it's maybe not the best player available, if you like a guy that you think you could turn into a player you could develop, then I don't care where they project them to go because every team is going to have a different ranking system. I suspect, Anthony, they're going to end up with two corners and at least two tackles by the time this draft is done next week.
Absolutely. I have to admit, I think that's exactly the route they're going to go. And I suspect with the rest of their picks, they're possibly going to be looking at a running back, possibly a depth receiver, and maybe a safety as well. But at the end of the day, only time will tell, because you could also suspect perhaps they'll take a defensive end somewhere late on, or another outside linebacker to challenge Merciless for his spot. So who knows at this point in time, but it's definitely going to be an interesting week or so. But two other players that he discussed who are currently on the roster, Deontay Foreman, the running back. Now, he's obviously coming off a very nasty injury. He said that he's lost weight and he looks very, very much in shape. What was your take on that situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been hearing so much about Foreman, you know, really ever since he suffered the Achilles injury. And, you know, Dane talked about it today at the press conference, just the fact that, you know, Foreman is a running back coming off an Achilles injury. I mean, that is the Achilles heel, pun absolutely intended there, for a running back. And him trying to come back from that, you know, it took some time. I don't think they loved, you know, the shape that Foreman was in last year. I think Foreman would honestly tell you that maybe he didn't come in the best shape, and part of that was because he was handling this injury. I think we will see a much different Deontay Foreman this year. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Texans use one of these picks on a running back. If they like a guy that they think has good value in the mid rounds, there's some talk that some of these running backs will not go in the first round at all, that we might have a draft that features no running backs taken in the first round for the first time in about 5 years. And if that's the case, you know, Texans with some of these picks, maybe they really like a guy, and running back could absolutely be a need. You know, they've talked about how they want to find guys they could throw to more out of the backfield and use the running back more in the passing game. Well, let's call it for what it is. I mean, Lamar Miller is a nice back. Alfred Blue is a nice complimentary back. But none of these guys were potential game-changing players. So I think there's a chance that maybe they address the running back position, because as talented as Foreman is, his rookie year, he emerged at the end of a lost season, I don't know if they can necessarily rely on him. So I think they'd like to utilize Foreman, but I don't think Foreman coming back and potentially being better this year is going to stop them from maybe taking a running back in the mid-rounds.
Absolutely. And I know one of the backs in particular that I'm particularly keen on is Bryce Love out of Stanford. I think he looks fantastic. He's lightweight, he's short, he's shifty, he's got great speed, and I think he'd be very good as a pass-catching running back. I think he'd be an excellent addition somewhere in the second, third, maybe even fourth round, depending on how teams grade him. But then another player Brian Gain brought up was Tashaun Gibson, obviously a safety signing from the Jacksonville Jaguars this offseason. He seems to see him as a starter covering tight ends. Do you see him starting from day one, or do you think this is just rhetoric to perhaps cover up the fact that they're planning on taking a safety early in the draft?
I think he's a starter from day one. Even Gain said today that he anticipates Justin Reed and Gibson being the starters. Gibson was brought in to basically replace Tyrann Mathieu. He's in a more affordable Tyrann Mathieu. And I was really impressed with Gibson. I mean, he loved the idea of being back in Texas. He's a Texas guy. He's excited. His family's only 3 hours away on game days now. You know, he made a joke that the cheering section that he was going to have was going to be off the chain for all the home games this year. He seemed really likable. He seemed really focused. He seems like somebody that kind of has played in the NFL and is just a pro and kind of just gets it. I think will fit in well with the locker room, the guys they already have here. He's being brought in to be a starter. Now, that wouldn't stop them from taking a safety because, you know, we saw with Justin Reed, if they see great value on the guy, you know, Justin Reed was a third-round pick. If we were doing a redraft, he'd be in the first round, absolutely. So I don't think they're going to, you know, safety is a quote-unquote need, but, you know, the entire secondary as a whole could always be improved. So they could still look safety. But Gibson was brought in to be a starter, and I suspect him and Justin Reed will form a nice tandem this year for Houston.
Absolutely, and I'm really looking forward to see how they gel together and just how well Gibson does in this system, I must admit. Now, the other big news for the Texans, obviously, was the schedule release yesterday. I'm sure everybody listening saw all the Game of Thrones references and the videos with either the Texans, the Atlanta Falcons, and a couple of others. There were some brilliant release videos, definitely worth watching. How do you feel about this Texans schedule? Because I know it's, by most people, it's been graded as one of the most difficult in the NFL.
It's certainly more difficult than what it was last year. That is for sure for the Texans fans here. The one thing you could say about the Texans schedule is that, you know, you're facing the Patriots late in the year, and, oh, yeah, you have the Saints to open up on Monday Night Football. So, you know, the two things I was hoping for, if you were from the Texans' perspective, is you want to get the Saints not in prime time, and, of course, it's week one on Monday Night Football because it's so tough to play there, and that atmosphere is going to be rowdy. It's going to be wild. And you get the Patriots late in the year, and you're better off getting the Patriots at home early because the Patriots usually don't get off to the best start. So not good there from the Texans' perspective. But I'll say this. You look at the schedule, and the Texans are in a situation here where if they go 11-5 this year, they earned the 11-5 because they got to face some really good teams, really good quarterbacks. Obviously, people are excited about going to London for the first time. I think they got a good deal with the bye being in week 10. You get that after the London trip now to recover, which is great. But, you know, some really tough matchups. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that the Texans are going to have to face. Obviously, you know, you're playing a division in the NFC South that has Cam, that has Matt Ryan, that has Drew Brees, and we'll see what the Bucs are with Jameis Winston. But, you know, this is a really good schedule, a really challenging schedule. When you have to face, you know, the Colts in your own division twice, Jacksonville should be better. Obviously, you got to go to Kansas City. That's a tough game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So, way harder schedule, at least on paper, than what it was a year ago. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And like you mentioned, week one is going to be a difficult game away Monday night at the Saints. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere, I'm sure, but it's definitely going to be a difficult season opener. And the period that really worries me is weeks 3-7. You've got the Chargers, Falcons, Panthers, Chiefs, and Colts. Now, while I don't think the Panthers are necessarily the most dangerous out of that group, I do think the rest of that group there is, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a very difficult stretch, and they are really going to need good depth in this lineup, which is something that they, at the moment at least, it doesn't look like they really have at certain positions. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do over the coming weeks in terms of building the roster in preparation for what looks like you mentioned, a very tough schedule. So it's going to be interesting. And with regards to the London game, obviously, like you mentioned, we got week 10 bye, which, again, fantastic. I think that worked out brilliantly for the Texans because none of the players really, apart from Tashaun Gibson, obviously from his experience with the Jaguars, none of them will really know what to expect from the trip in terms of the time difference and just getting used to it in general. But it's going to be interesting. And do you know yet if you'll be going over to London to cover it at all?
Try and convince them to send me and maybe another one of our broadcasters or reporters to cover the game. I actually have a couple of friends of mine that live in the UK, so I'm hoping that I can parlay, hey, I'll stay with them, and the cost is only the flight to let me go. I'm hoping maybe I could swing it. It'd be an incredible experience. I've never been over there. I had a funny feeling the Texans would be going to London this year just because every team has now gone to London after this year, so there was an emphasis on sending teams that haven't been, and because of the fact the Jaguars always go and they're in the Texans division, I thought it was only a matter of time, and sure enough, here go to the Texans. They'll be in London, and I think it will be fun. I think it will be a cool experience, and you know, we'll get to see, you know, a London team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, in action against the Texans.
Absolutely, and it's going to be, well, the Texans' first morning game as well, which will certainly be interesting. I'm sure we'll have plenty of fans getting up early for that. It's going to be fascinating because it'll be our first chance to see the Texans fan base in the UK, which I know is fantastic, but you don't necessarily hear about as often, obviously, because they haven't played across the pond as of yet. So it's going to be great to see them over there. My only concern is that a lot of the time when teams go there for the first time, some of the players tend to treat it as a vacation, and that does worry me a bit because that has happened in the past. Players tend to lose their focus on the game, the business at hand, and it tends to bite them come game day. But we'll wait and see, and hopefully it'll be a good game, and hopefully the Texans can come out of that with a win.
I'll tell you what, Bill O'Brien is going to make sure that his team is focused. His team is not out partying late on London. You're going to see, you know, Bill O'Brien, I'm sure, set some early curfews for that behind the scenes. You know, this is – the Texans have really good leaders on this team is the one thing I'll say. I think, you know, all their leaders are mature. All their leaders handle their business. There's no diva on this team. So I think, you know, to not worry about, you know, the distractions and treating it as a vacation, it starts with your leadership. But I will say, you know, being in the locker room the last season, I think the Texans have a really good group of leaders that hold everyone accountable.
Absolutely, and I certainly hope you're right, I must admit. And I think that's about everything for today, so thank you ever so much for joining me, Jake.
Appreciate you having me on, Anthony. I did not know before we started this that you are from the UK, so very cool to interact with you here, and you know, it's really cool what you're doing with the podcast. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks very much. And where can our listeners find you on social media?
My Twitter handle is at Jake Asman, Jake A-S-M-A-N. I do a show every night nationally on SB Nation Radio, but I also obviously report and cover the Houston teams, including, of course, the Texans, and I do some fill-in work on ESPN 97.5, so... if you follow me on Twitter at Jake Asman, I'm always tweeting when I'm on and get all the good stuff there.
Thank you very much for joining me. It was absolutely fantastic to speak to you. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter, ARWoodNFL. Or, of course, go over to thetexanswire.com to follow all of the latest Texans news. Thank you very much for listening. We'll speak to you soon.